Go ahead and turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2 this morning. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse number 8. This particular message, I was not going to be going this direction this morning. I find it funny lately. God's really been changing my direction on some things. I have things that I want to preach about, and God lays upon my heart what He wants, and that happened last Sunday night as well when I was in the pastor's office. By the way, that was a weird experience, preaching in the pastor's office, sitting down, having your mom and dad behind you throwing spit wads at you as you preach. You guys didn't see those things take place. But that was very strange. My wife said when I got done, she goes, "Chad, you looked very smart because you had all the books behind you." And then my daughter followed up. She goes, "Well, I thought he looked like a geek." So I kind of got mixed reviews on that one, but anyway, it's good to be here to actually see you folks. I miss folks. I really do. I know I'm an introvert. I can be by myself for a long time, but at the same time, I miss people. And I had a conversation with my daughter just a couple days ago, bawling her eyes out. I kid you not, she is bawling her eyes out because she heard that she might be able to get this virus again, and she didn't want to be in quarantine for 10 days. Another 10 days, and with her eyes just sobbing with tears, she's going to be mad at me for saying this, but she says, "Dad, I need people. I need my church people." And I tell you what, that thrills my heart that a young lady realizes that she needs her church family. She didn't say anything about her blood family, but her church family means so much to her, and she goes, "Dad, we just got back, and we're able to see each other after a couple months, and now it's taken away from us, and I don't want to go through another 10 days. And I understand she was with us for those 10 days so we can drive somebody crazy. But anyway, this message that I was talking about was not going to be taking place today, but God used in a big event in my life this past week where this transpired, and I cannot ignore it. And I will explain that to you as we go further into this. But in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, let's read this. I think I'm in the right spot. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." As you know, we're talking about salvation this morning. And this is really a message that you probably are used to. You might wonder why we're hearing this again. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think we can ever hear enough of salvation messages. I really don't. I remember when I started the church out in Tennant, Iowa several years ago, I didn't know individuals. I didn't know their backgrounds. I didn't know where they came from. I didn't know what they stood for. So probably about the first 2 months I was there, I preached nothing but salvation messages. And I was excited every time I stepped into the pulpit. And just hoping that somebody would be able to hear and understand what they needed in their life, and that was Jesus Christ. And so I'll never tire of preaching about God's word, about what His salvation can do for you. And I'm thankful this morning that by grace, through grace, and through faith, that we can be saved. And so as we read this verse this morning, I'm going to explain some things to you here in a little bit. But before so, let's have a word of prayer. Let's ask God to gather our thoughts. Let's ask God to remove the distractions that are here this morning. Again, I'm thankful for the folks that are in here this morning that are here in Facebook land as well. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your holiness and Your righteousness. For without it, Lord, we wouldn't be where we're at today. And so, Lord, I pray this morning as we go through Your word, as we did this last hour, that You would again speak to our hearts. Lord, use me to be able to bring forth what You want to be said, even though I have words on paper. God, I pray if it's something that doesn't need to be said or that You don't want me to say, God, I pray that You would delete it before my very eyes. God, I pray if there's somebody here this morning, or if there's somebody that's out there that's watching our services this morning, that God, that, if they're not saved this morning, they would see a need to call upon You as Lord and Savior. Lord, we need You so desperately in our lives today. We depend so much upon ourselves and so little upon you. God, I pray for this world, for what we are going through. Lord, it seems as if there are people that are trying to divide us. But God, not even a Republican can bring us together, but you can. So God, I pray that you would unite us Americans to be able to be ones that have a desire to wake up to serve you every single day of our lives. We pray again this morning to be with Pastor and Mrs. Springer. Give them great rest. Give them great strength as they're away. We pray that you give Chris a safe flight home tomorrow as well, and we ask it in your name. Amen. So what salvation is not is the title of my message. I believe so many folks in our world today have been confused of what salvation is. And I want to set you straight this morning. If you're not set straight, I want to help you be able to be a help to set you straight on what salvation is not, but what it really is. So my first point that I want to go through this morning, by the way, I have 5 points. If I happen to not to name them, ask me later. I'll give them to you for your notes, because I have a hard time of giving those to folks. The first point I want to look at tonight is how you live. A lot of people believe that salvation is how you live your life, and that is not the case. We know that. Salvation is not determined how you live your life, but unfortunately, that is the mindset of many individuals in our world today. The mentality is, if I can just live a clean life and treat others respectfully, then I'll be in heaven. How many people have ever heard people say that in your lifetime? I come across people almost on a weekly basis that will say those very words to me. Yeah, I will be in heaven because I treat others well. And that is not how you'll end up in heaven. And so you have to begin to explain to them what salvation really is. Is it good to treat people good? Most definitely. It's good to be respectful. It's good to be cordial. It's good to be nice towards others, because in return, hopefully they're that way to you. But that doesn't guarantee any individual a place in heaven. That's not the right mindset. And so often, a lot of individuals have the wrong mindset of what it really means to get into heaven. The other thought is, if I can be a regular church attendee or a regular church goer, that's the other answer that comes back to me when I deal with people for salvation. They will say, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven because I go to church once a month. And sometimes I'm sarcastic and I will grab a miniature trophy, participation trophy, and I'll say, here you are, here's your participation trophy, if this is what you're looking for. And they look at me with a confused look, and I said, that's not what it's about. Anybody can go to church. Anybody can sit underneath the preaching of God's word, but still reject God's word and be on their way to hell. So it's not about being a regular church attendee. So often that's what people have in their mindsets. Okay, I'm going to go this Sunday because I haven't gone the last few weeks, and so my place in heaven might not be there yet, so I'm going to make up for it for the next couple weeks, and I'm going to park myself in a chair and sit underneath the preaching of God's word. I hope if that is to take place, first of all, I hope you're under sound preaching. I hope you're not under a watered-down version of the gospel. I hope you're under sound preaching, because God will speak to you. By the way, let me say this. I might get flack on this, but I believe God can speak to you anywhere. I really do. You mean God can speak to a Catholic while they're in a Catholic church? Yes, I believe that. I do not put any limits upon the Holy Spirit. And so often people will put a limit upon the Holy Spirit. Well, if they're in a Catholic church, or if they're in a Pentecostal church or a Methodist church, they're not going to get saved. Then you've just limited the powers of the Holy Spirit. And we are wrong for doing those things. So it's not about how well we treat somebody. It's not about how often we go to church. You can go to church every single Sunday and be as lost can be. Because many people walk in and out of these doors and don't accept the gospel that's being preached to them. They go so that they can feel good about themselves. They go so they can have a little bit of peace of mind, thinking that they might attain a place in heaven, but they have no idea what salvation is. The third thing that takes place in the life of an unbeliever, it goes with and how you live your life, is, well, their thought process might be this. Well, I don't treat others as well as I should. I don't go to church as often as I should be going to church. So I'm going to make up for it in this area. And this is the area many folks would bring into this, and they will send their tithes into the local church. I heard a lot of explosions last night, and I believe churches are going to be suffering on tithes in the next couple weeks. Because that sounded to me like a million some dollars went up in the air last night in explosions in the west end of town. And I was tell you what, man, I thought I was in a war zone. I had no fireworks go off in my house, but I woke up this morning having to clean off everybody else's mess that they were throwing up in the air last night. And so their thought process will be, hey, I'm going to give some tithes to the church, and that should make it good for me. I'm contributing to the house of God so that the electricity can stay on, the air conditioning and the heat, and all the maintenance that takes place. I'm going to be able to contribute to those things. And again, that's not what it's about. So what this boils down to is the work of the individual. It's about what they can do. Totally taking away what God can do in their life. What God has sent his son for. They're throwing that out the window. Why is that being thrown out the window? Probably because they're not being taught that to begin with. They might be being taught that it's about what they can do. Go to church. Treat others nice. Give your tithes, give your money to the local church. But it's totally dependent upon what they do and not what Christ has done for them. They have totally rejected what Calvary went through that day with Jesus Christ on the cross. The unfortunate thing is, this is exactly what some believe today. And because of this, without Christ, they are on their way to hell. Let me be as clear as I can be this morning. If you think that being nice to somebody is going to get you a place in heaven, let me tell you this. You're on your way to hell. If you think this morning that your church attendance will get you a place in heaven this morning, you are on your way to hell. If you think this morning that if you give your tithes to the local church, you're on your way to hell. You are a future resident of hell. But the only thing that can get you from hell to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not about you. It's about the gift that God has given you, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. So often folks don't know what salvation is. You begin to ask somebody, are you saved? And they look at you and, well, what's saved mean? And you respond, you have no idea what salvation is, what Jesus Christ does for you, has done for you. And so again, you got to go through that process. Why? Because their mindset's different. And so they don't know what salvation is. That's the second point. What is salvation? What is salvation? There are a few things that are needed to happen for salvation that many in this world are still rejecting today and have no idea what it is. The first event was God giving us his son. What is salvation? God giving us his son. He is our gift. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he what? That he gave. If he gave us something, what is that? What is he doing? He's gifting something to you. And so in order for you to accept the gift, you have to take the gift. And then you have to do something with the gift. It doesn't do you no good by taking the gift and just letting it be. What do you got to do? You got to find out what's inside. You got to open it up. And so the first event was God giving us his son. Jesus here in John 3:16 is represented to us as a gift. It is a gift that many of us treasure. It's a gift that many of us are excited that we have received in our life. But there are so many people who have yet to receive a gift. There are so many people that don't understand the verse of John 3:16. The gift was given to us so that we would not perish, but that we would have eternal life. A gift sometimes that many see no value in, or they have absolutely no use for. It's unfortunate people see Christ as that, a gift that they see no value in. Jesus is very valuable to us, and he's very useful for us. But the world that's not saved, they don't have an idea of what we're talking about. Even after salvation, he is treated horrible by his followers. And when I say followers, that includes you and me. That includes us. How to get salvation is the third point. Jesus had to do one thing for us that no other person could do. No other person could do what Jesus was doing that day on Calvary. I had the privilege to see Calvary, see it in person. To be able to sit under the preaching of God's word, to be able to have the Lord's Supper taken that day, to be able to sing a couple congregational hymns at Calvary, and to be able to reflect of what happened that day. It began to go through my mind as he laid upon a cross, as he suffered for you and for me. Again, hopefully within this next year, if things don't change, and I pray to God that doesn't change, Jeff's going to be able to see the same thing, and he's going to have the emotions that I probably had the very first time that I was there. Which, by the way, Jeff, that's going to be the last thing that you see as we walk out of Israel. Something that I'll never forget. Something that I've always treasured. I still have a little communion cup that I had when I took communion that day. But he was treated horrible by his followers. He did what no one else would do. What did he do? It was his very life that he was willing to give up for you and for me. His own life that he put in jeopardy. His own life that he put in harm's way. His own life that he allowed other individuals to place a horrible, tremendous, torturous beating upon his body. So that you could have salvation. So that you could have eternal life. And he gave that up. He gave up his living for who? For you and for me. It wasn't just an ordinary death. It was agonizing. It was cruel. It was abusive. And it was extreme torture. A death that no ordinary man could go through. By the way, you've read your Bible, hopefully. They couldn't kill him. No matter what they did to him, they couldn't kill him. I almost wonder if Jesus was on the cross thinking, come on, guys, get it over with. But as he's up there and as they are torturing him, throwing a spear in his side, the crown of thorns that are upon his head, bleeding profusely, he did one thing that you and I could not do. He gave up the ghost. He gave up his life. Why was this done? It was done for every individual that was given life. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're brown, yellow, red. I don't care what color you are this morning. Christ died for you. By the way, all lives matter to him. And all lives should matter to every believer as well. When I see an individual, I don't see the color. I don't see the color. A few weeks ago, we were driving. My daughter and I, we decided, she likes to paddleboard and I kayak beside her. It's just one of the things that we like to do. Together as a father and daughter. And here's this black lady walking down the street, probably her age, 16, 17 years of age. She had a couple of little friends with her. And she looked at me, she goes, "Dad," with excitement in her voice, she goes, "Dad, did you see that girl's smile? It's beautiful." And I look back, and here she is, this black lady just walking. I said, "You need to tell her that." We pulled over on the side of the road. She goes, "Hey." Young lady looks at her. She goes, "What?" She goes, "You have a beautiful smile." And I saw a smile get bigger on this individual's life. See, I don't look at color. I look at the smile. It says so much about the person. It really does. You don't see these rioters smiling, do you? You don't see them smiling. You see a face that's disfigured, a face that's not happy. And why aren't they happy? Because they're missing something. They're missing Jesus Christ. Amen. So it was through his shed blood for us that salvation was given to those who call upon his name. That's how you get salvation. Through his shed blood. And all you have to do is call upon his name. The fourth point is Jesus is very famous. But not famous for the things that you and I would want to be famous for in our life. Jesus was famous, but not like a celebrity would be treated. When you hear of a celebrity coming to town and if they're to make a movie in Omaha, there's one made here in Council Bluffs a few years ago as well. People laid out the red carpet for them. They treated them well. The news cameras were on them. They would interview them as they were here. They'd roll out the red carpet for them. They would treat them with respect, with dignity. But this wasn't the life of Jesus. Because Jesus lived a different famous life. His life of being famous is one who was mocked and ridiculed. He was mocked and ridiculed. Another form of famousness that he had about him is something that you and I don't think about too often. He was homeless. Had no place to lay his head at night. The foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. He was homeless. That ought to give you a different look when you see a homeless guy next time. You can say, "My Jesus was homeless." He was accused of lying and mistreating people. He faced extreme temptation by Satan in the book of Hebrews 4:15, as I said this morning. He is famous for being rejected by man, but at the same time, this was done so he could show us not only his mercy, but his grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And this gets me to my last point this morning, and that is God's grace. Those of us who have Christ in our lives, we have experienced firsthand the grace of God. We've experienced that in our lives, and sometimes we don't think about how often we experience it. Without a doubt, every single one of us that are in here this morning, besides Lauren and Caitlin, we drove to church. I remember those days when I walked to church. They were long, grueling walks in the heat and the snow. But we all drove this morning. And at some point in time, on your way to church, as you're driving, you experience the grace of God. You know how many times I pull up to a stop sign and I see someone running right through it? And every time I see that happens, I thought to myself, I could have been going at that time and I could have been T-boned and maybe taken out into eternity. We experience the grace of God in our lives. A lot of us that are here this morning, probably over half of us, have gone through this virus of COVID-19. And through that, we were able to experience the grace of God in our lives by not allowing our symptoms to be as severe as what they said it would be. I know of somebody this morning that went through this virus, was very serious for this individual. Spent 4 to 5 days in the hospital. Couldn't breathe. Had to have steroid shots to be given to her so that she can breathe. But you and I that have gone through it, we experience God's grace. I was fearful when I heard the news that my mom and dad got the virus because of what has been embedded into my brain for the past 4 or 5 months. And the first night that it happened, I could not sleep, worrying about them and their well-being. But then I began to think, God whispering in my ear, saying this, Chad, I got this. I got this. And to be able to see their symptoms not be as severe as what they said it would be for elderly people with underlying conditions. But there are some who have gone through horrible conditions with this thing. But we'd be able to experience that grace. Destined for hell, you called upon Him and you experienced His grace and He saved you from that despair. Salvation doesn't stop here. Now we have a tremendous job ahead of us. And I'm getting to the point where this came into my life this week. That job is to be a voice for God that others can experience His grace as well. This happens when they will put their faith in Him. But how can they hear without a preacher? There, this week, there is a sheriff in Florida. He said this week, he says, for you law-abiding citizens, I will deputize you to help me keep the law in our county. And I begin to think about that. Do you realize the day that we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we've been deputized to give the gospel to the lost? Amen. We are His voice. And how are they going to hear without a preacher? Today, you have been deputized not as a preacher to stand behind a pulpit to give the message to the people that are in the auditorium, but you've been deputized as a preacher to go out into the world to give the gospel. You've been deputized. And again, it's a story that'll never get old. It's a story that I will never get tired of preaching. It's a story that I will never grow tired of reminding God's people of what we are responsible to do. People need Jesus. It's not about your works. It's about putting your faith and trust in Him. God has placed people in your life and in my life to talk about His great love for them. Don't be ignorant. Don't ignore and let people go to hell on your account. You will stand before an almighty God someday and you will be accountable for the ones that came in your life that you never, ever reached out to. Now here's the meat of the message this morning. This past Thursday, I was ignorant and I ignored. And a sweet person went into hell. Because I didn't talk to them about Christ. And in the last 2 months, I kid you not, God gave me 5 more opportunities with this individual. I haven't seen him for a couple years. My daughter played volleyball with his sister on occasions. And as we'd go into practice, I'd stay there with Jalen, and him and I, we'll go to the basketball court, have some fun, shoot some balls. Jeff and I know his dad. We used to play bowling with him years ago. But Joe got into a car Thursday afternoon, went to a friend's house. They were going to go four-wheeling together. He forgot his helmet at home. His friend said, hey, here's my car. Go get your helmet. And on his way back to his house, somehow something happened where he ended up in the cornfield and he was dead instantly. This is where this message came from. 5 times And every time that I saw him, the Holy Spirit was prodding my heart to do something. And you want to know something very ironically that took place that morning? I was at his neighbor's house doing some work. As if God was telling me once again, go talk to him. But I probably have an individual on my account that I didn't take the opportunity to give him the gospel so that he can experience the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some of you might have a Joe in your life that God has been telling you to talk to. It could be a Joe at the gas station. It could be a Joe at the grocery store. It could be a Joe on your baseball team, football team, whatever thing you do. Don't ignore the opportunity for someone else to experience the same grace that you experience in your life when you called upon him. I heard this news Thursday night. Within minutes, I called Jeff to let him know. I had a hard time dealing with this. My night that night was very restless and very sleepless. I have a lot of those nights for some reason. I wake up with people on my mind for some reason. I can't sleep, but this particular night really bugged me. Went to bed probably about 1 o'clock in the morning. I woke up about 4:30, 5 o'clock, could not sleep because Joe was on my mind. And the thing that was going through my mind was, Joe's probably fallen in hell this very second because of my ignorance and because of me ignoring. Well, how are you ignorant? God will give me another opportunity. I'll wait. I'll do it some other day. Yeah, God might give you another opportunity, but you never know when that last opportunity may be. 5 times in the last 2 months. And now I will probably stand before God, and Joe's blood is going to be on my hands. And that's not fun to live with. It's been plaguing me since that happened that night. Yeah, time will go on, and I might heal from it, but I'm going to say this, I hope I don't. Because I hope that every time that I see an individual that God puts in my life, I see Joe's face, and I'm able to talk to them about the grace of God to them and show them and be the voice that God has called us to be. See, it's not just about getting up here and giving you a message. It's about taking those messages that God has placed on my heart, and as I take them and give them to you, and as God has given them to me, we are accountable to apply those messages to our lives. It doesn't do us any good to come here this morning and to say, hey, I'm just going to sit and put my time in and not worry about anything else. Let it go in one ear and out the other. Oh, how we need to let it sink in and see that there is a world that God has called us to be a witness to. God doesn't have to use us, but he desires to. That's amazing when you think about that. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. I'm going to do something a little bit different that I've done in times past. I'm not going to have an invitation this morning. And you say, well, why is that? Because it's not my job to try to conjure you up to come to the altar. It's not. So I believe if God is dealing with you this morning, when I get done praying, maybe that's your time to stay in your seat and take time to meet with God. So when I pray, we will be dismissed. And if you see someone around you that's taking your time to sit down and to pray, I'm going to ask you just to quietly leave. Tonight, we'll meet back here at 5:30 for prayer meeting and 6 o'clock for church. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. God, I thank you for the grace that you bestowed upon us. I thank you for the gift that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, this morning, I'm hurting this morning because of a young man that I did not pay the proper attention to. Yeah, I became a friend with him, shooting hoops with him. But God, I didn't once talk to him about you. Not once. And God, you gave me multiple opportunities. God, help that to never let that happen in my life again. God, I pray if there's somebody here that has not accepted you, God, I pray that today call upon you as Lord and Savior. We ask it in your name. Amen.